Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I'm fully aware that we have just traveled a long distance and we have just had a heavy lunch, and many of us are ready to doze off for siesta. It's good for us to consider the word as we begin our conference. I will not be giving a long sermon. I leave the sermons, long messages to our speakers. Well, I'm just going to introduce the theme of the conference, tie a few things together so that we can have a train of thought as we go along in the conference. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16 and from verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me. For thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. Now I see the context of this passage concerns the Lord Jesus asking of his disciples concerning himself. Who is he? And so the disciples began to give answers about what the people say about him. But the Lord was not interested in what people say about him. He was interested in what they say about him. And this is something that we ought to know very well, what ought to take to heart. The Lord is not interested in what other people say about him. The Lord is interested in knowing what you say about him. Now, after Peter had given the answer that he is the Christ, the Lord was quite pleased that he had given indeed a right answer, a right understanding. The Lord commended him and said that this is not something that he would be able to say by nature, and this is true. It is truly by the Father sending his Spirit, enabling Peter to understand these things, that Peter was able to say that he is indeed the Christ. But so soon as he said that, we see Peter not really fully understanding what he said, that he is the Christ. Because as soon as the Lord Jesus said that he would be crucified and be raised again on the third day, so soon did Peter say, "Not so, not so, Lord. This shall not be so. Be it far from thee. This shall not be unto thee." Peter received a rebuke from the Lord. And I think this is quite a strong rebuke. But the Lord said to him, "Peter," he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." Peter was saying something which certainly is not true, and something which is, in a sense, satanic. Peter was saying making a statement that's contrary to the truth, contrary to the purpose of the Messiah coming into the world. But after the Lord had rebuked Peter, he began to make a clear statement in regards to how Christians ought to conduct themselves, how Christians ought to think. Beautiful statement in verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," to all of them, and therefore to all of us, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Three things required of the disciple. He must deny himself, he must take up the cross, he must follow him who is the Lord. Now in this conference, our theme is on Christ Jesus and his disciples. And if you look at the messages, you see that it is more related to the last point of following after Christ, because the other aspect will be brought in, as we shall see. What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Now the word that is translated follow here, akoulutheo, literally means with, on the road. To accompany someone on the road. The alpha, the beginning, is the particle of union for those who study some Greek. And the second word there is kaleuthos, road. So with road, with a person on the road. What is the Lord saying then? The Lord is saying that you must walk with me on the road I walk on. You must follow me in that path that I take. But how? How are we to follow him? Well, in order that we may follow him and be on the road that he's on, we must first know him. We must identify with him. And then we must walk with him. Well, in this conference, you'll find our speakers, Pastor Coburn, Pastor Emeritus from EPC of Australia, and Pastor Mark Shan, pastor in Launceston, EPC congregation, bringing the fruits of their labor to help us to understand how indeed we may follow the Lord Jesus Christ as his disciples. If you look at your program, you realize that there are six messages. Pastor Coburn will preach in the morning, and he'll preach on the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only if we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, then will we be able to follow him. And then Pastor Shen will be preaching in the evening on the disciples of Christ. How do we see the connection between these two series of messages? Well, let me give you a few propositions, one for each message, according to the order in which the messages will be given. How must we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? First, check your heart and understanding of Christ. It's so easy for us to think that we know Christ and then to continue on living our life as if we know Him when we may not know Him. Over the last few days, most of you would know, I was attending to my mother's wake, and some of my neighbors came down. Some neighbors, I didn't know their names. We say hello to one another on a number of occasions, but never got to know their names. I had to ask them for their names. And it was a wonderful opportunity for me to talk to them and get their name. They sat down. And there was this old man. He sat down with me and we spoke. And I asked him, "What is your surname? I'm sorry." I apologized to him. "For so long I didn't ask your name." And he said, "Yes." He said, "It's a problem with me too," he said. "You know, we see each other all the time. We're so familiar with one another. We dare not ask one another for a name." Isn't it true? Because we are so familiar with our neighbors, if you ask, you feel embarrassed to do so. And so you just say hi and continue. And so it goes on for years. Now, this happened in our neighborhood. Often in Singapore, I'm not sure whether in Australia that happens. I suppose in Australia it would be rude for you not to know your neighbor's name. But in Singapore, it's very common. Most of us do not know our neighbor's name, even the next door neighbor. But your experience with your neighbor must not be your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suspect that many of us have this problem. We hear about the Lord, we grew up knowing the Lord, and we assume that we know the Lord. And after a while, we're kind of embarrassed to ask a little bit more about the Lord. Because fundamental, simple things, we don't know, we get embarrassed. Peter had that problem, isn't it? He was able to say, "Thou art the Christ." And the next minute, he was saying to the Lord, "It should not be. You will not be so. You will not go to the cross." Peter did not fully understand the purpose of the Messiah's incarnation. Now, in our first address, Pastor Shen will bring us to also see how the disciples, on another occasion, also did not put to heart what they saw about the Lord, what they ought to know about the Lord. I will leave Pastor Shen to explain. But the short of it is, let us check our faith, check our understanding, check our heart. Do not simply assume you know, and then your day-to-day decisions, Christ is left out. Or your day-to-day decision, you forget the sovereignty of Christ, or you forget His word. So check your heart and understanding of Christ. The first thing you must do. But secondly, hold fast to the truth about Christ. The second message will be brought to us by Pastor Coburn. The title is Jesus the Emmanuel. Again, some very fundamental truths will be brought to our refreshment about the birth of Christ, about the person of Christ and what Christ Jesus came to. It's essential for us. These basic truths, again, do not simply assume, I know it already, and then we shut off. But hold them fast and interact with them, meditate on them. Check your children, for those of us who have children. You'll be surprised. Ask your children, what does Jesus mean? What does Emmanuel mean? What does Christ mean? Very fundamental things. Truth that should be held in the mind. But so often you find that these very things are forgotten. I found adults actually forgetting. What does Jesus mean? What does Christ mean? Emmanuel, most people remember because it's a big word. But Christ is so common. The term is so common that we forget. What does it mean? Learn these things. Hold fast to them. Never let it go. They are the foundation stone of our Christian faith. Hold fast to the truth about Christ, about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now thirdly, let us take note that regeneration is not the end, but the beginning of knowing Christ. Third message is taken by Pastor Shen. Title is Seeing Man as Trees Walking. Common mistake amongst many in evangelical churches is the idea that we are to get our children to pray to receive Christ. As soon as they pray to receive Christ, they are born again, that's all right. And the goal is met. That's not a goal. Yes, we ought to pray for our children, for their conversion. But we must not think that once a person made confession of faith, that's the goal and that's the end. And same for us. Make confession, baptize, that's the goal, that's the end. No, regeneration is not the end, but the beginning of knowing Christ. When you're born again, you must grow and continue to grow. The Lord does not heal us completely in one instant. We do not become glorified saints. Why? Because the Lord with us slowly learn about Him, slowly grow to know more and more about Him. It's imperative, therefore, for us to make use of the means of grace, to learn and to grow. Fourthly, if you are not awestruck by the power and presence of Christ, you probably do not know Christ as you should. This will be the theme of the fourth message. What manner of man is this? Taken by Pastor Coburn. And again, it's essential for us to remind ourselves that we ought not to be contented with a superficial understanding or superficial knowledge of Christ. You can know the catechism and be able to recite the catechism, but if you never have a sense of a fear of the Lord and to be struck by how great He is, then perhaps you just know Christ in a very shallow intellectual way. And for that reason, you'll not be able to live a life that is truly abundant and free, a life by which you draw nigh to the Lord and truly follow after Him through all the changing scenes of life. As you hear the word, spend time to meditate on your relationship with the Lord. But fifthly, such as are true followers of Christ will bear the cross willingly and cheerfully, although you involve suffering, sometimes shame. This will be the theme essentially of the fifth message on true discipleship that Pastor Shen will bring to us. Those who follow the Lord are also cross bearers. We follow the Lord carrying the cross. That is why I said earlier that although the Lord said three things, we have to deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him, yet they are interrelated. And this conference will deal also with cross bearing. Everyone who follows the Lord must learn to deny himself, take up the cross and follow him. Being a Christian is not about glory and power. It's not about a life of ease and comfort. Often, it involves suffering. Not too long after I became a Christian, it struck me that it's not easy being a Christian. That life had become much more difficult. But there was joy. Joy in knowing that you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now finally, true disciples of Christ are empowered by Christ to be his witnesses in the world. Final message, all power is given unto me, will be by Pastor Coburn. When we leave this place, let us not leave this place merely with knowledge in our minds, but let us leave this place as those who have been blessed by the Spirit of the Lord to be witnesses for him in whatever spheres of life that he places in, that we may be part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, not only in terms of reaching out to the unconverted, but really in being witnesses for the Lord everywhere. So here are the 5 points again. First, check your heart and understanding about Christ. Secondly, hold fast to the truth about Christ. Thirdly, regeneration is not the end, but the beginning of knowing Christ. Fourthly, if you're not awestruck by the power and presence of Christ in your life, perhaps you do not know the Lord as you should. Fifthly, such as are true followers of Christ will bear the cross cheerfully and willingly, even when it involves suffering, difficulties. Finally, true disciples of Christ are empowered by Christ to be his witness in the world. May the Lord help us that these things, as they are unfolded to us through the preaching of God's word, may become part of our lives, part of our understanding, part of our memory, part of our character, part of our Christian witness. Then if so, then it will be worth it that we come together for to hear God's word. And if it is so, then it will be worth it that our ministers who have traveled afar came all the way to bring the word of the Lord. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, once again we want to thank thee for bringing us together in order that we may consider about the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. We thank thee for the privilege of following after Christ. And we would ask that thou would teach us in this conference how, as his disciples, we may follow after him. and grant that if there be any in our midst who are yet to follow after Christ, that as we hear thy word, we may be so provoked in our heart that we may turn away from self and follow after him as we should. May thy Spirit apply thy word to our heart, that it may bear for fruit in our heart, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Lord, grant, we pray, that the tiredness of our bodies may not hinder us in the reception of thy word, but rather grant that we may be refreshed through thy word. We may be encouraged to be thy witnesses amongst ourselves, amongst our relatives, amongst our friends, as we are again brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, even our Lord and Master, who laid his life down for to save us and to give us a life that is abundant and free. For we do pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, please be seated. I hand the time to our camp commandant.